This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome to the 45th. Rabia here, and I'm here with my colleague Susan Simpson. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Rabia. And this time, I am literally here with you.
Yes, we are sitting in front of each other, for better or worse.
This is a rare joint appearance in-person podcast.
We are not even anywhere close to where we actually live, but we are up in Michigan, and we're here for some other work, and so we're doing this together. Having said that, number one, I have no idea what the sound quality is going to be like because we're
it's fine. It's good. We're good.
We're good. All right. Well, I hope we sound good.
I'm in charge right now. We got this.
Okay.
Rabia just told me that Trump tweeted that Barr needed to arrest someone. What was it?
Yeah. He recently retweeted that. Why doesn't Barr, Barr needs to arrest someone, but make an arrest already. I think that's what it was.
And that hasn't even crossed my radar while driving around.
Yeah.
It's millions of miles of Michigan countryside.
It was a picture of Barr with a caption, "For the love of God, arrest somebody," meaning Biden, of course. But, well, yeah, but here's the thing, Susan. You will be happy to know you haven't missed a whole lot that's been highly newsworthy because I guess maybe the bar's really been raised with this administration. It has to be real. We're so used to some really, really crazy stories every single week. It doesn't feel like such a crazy news week. But anyway, let's start off where we always start off, which is COVID, the front on COVID. We are now at 8.32 million cases in the U.S. and 221,000 deaths. And can I tell you, when I typed that number up, I was like, wait a minute, is that right? Is that right?
Yeah.
And then I went back because I forgot that last week we were already over 200,000. For some reason, my mind today did this blip where I was like, no, we're at 120,000.
No, we're way past that.
Oh my God. I don't know why. I got erased. I just forgot. And I checked a couple of other websites, and I'm like, shit.
The signs are kind of alarming right now. We've gotten complacent. We've gotten fatigued. We've had bad leadership. I mean, it is true. Humans were not meant to live in these conditions for long. So the point of lockdowns, the point of everything, was to reduce the spread. So the point when you do act normal again, as people will inevitably do, it's not going to matter that much. Now we have the spread is basically where it was in, July? Worse now? We're going into winter, and people are just like, oh, it's cool. It's fine. It's all right.
Well, Trump, for his campaign, his reelection campaign, is literally just blazing a trail of COVID across the country with his rallies.
I think he's running against Fauci, actually, in this election, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, Dr. Fauci's going to lose.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Fauci's going to be the last man standing in all of this. Because
Fauci's going to be on top of the burnout world, no COVID here.
Yeah, and this, by the way, is Trump's new shtick. I mean, he actually thinks this is a selling point. He has said repeatedly, Biden says he will listen to the scientists, but I will not. And I'm not sure who he's selling that to.
The thing is, Trump's, best ratings, probably ratings, his best polling, his best approvals came in the middle of, the worst part of the beginning, when he took it seriously,
was trying to act serious about it.
And they were god-awful briefings every day. They were kind of horrifying in their own way, but he was acting like he cared, acting serious about it in terms of, yes, he's showing up every day to talk about it.
Why did the briefings end? It's not like the virus went away. It's just because
he talked about injecting bleach and sunshine into your veins. And then they're like, well, we're not going to do this. And then they're like, okay, it's been a month. Let's try it again. He's like, yeah, by the way, how you doing, Ghislaine Maxwell? I hope things are going great for you. They're like, oh, no, we're done. Let's cancel that once more. Nix that.
But he was polling better when he was doing
it. When he was taking it seriously, Americans were like, okay, they maybe not paying attention to what he's saying.
Yeah.
But they sensed
and he would have some professionals with him, like Dr. Brooks. Yeah. And
so the appearance was, in general, he's taking it seriously, and Americans like that. They were like, yay, go you, Trump. You're taking this crisis seriously. We're going to bump your approval numbers up. And then it's been downhill from there. And he's like, I'm so bored of coronavirus. I'm like, you, me too, buddy. Yeah. You and me both. This is not, no one's enjoying this anymore. Yeah, we're all bored of this horrifying reality.
I'm also sorry to report that apparently he survived COVID.
Yeah. Rabia, he was also going to survive. He has the best fucking chance of anyone in the world.
He's like a cockroach. You just can't be squashed. Yes, you're right. Nobody's going to get better treatment than him, better care than him. But he also seems a little bit actually, this is not true. In some of the rallies he's been doing since last week, and look, he started within a week of having COVID, he got back on the campaign trail.
Oh, he had it way earlier, and I shouldn't reveal it.
Right. Well, within a week of, I guess, being released from the hospital. But he seemed like he had a lot of energy. But the last couple of rallies, he has seemed, because he always now ends his rallies with a dance. I don't know what's going on there, but YMCA is the thing now.
Do they know? They know.
Do they know what the song's about?
Someone's told them, right?
No, it is always the part that they always do is the young man. Young man. You know? Da, 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 da. And so that's a part he dances to.
The only part I've seen, I saw one rally where they had a video of it, and like all of Trump's like people are doing it, but Kushner's there not dancing. I'm like, you know what? That's what I call, buddy. Good for you.
Well, look, so in Minnesota, state health officials have actually traced nearly 24 COVID cases to 2 rallies that he held there in September. Oof. He was in Arizona, and before going to Arizona, the mayor of, I don't know which town he was in, and some public health officials were like freaking out. And one of them actually gave a press conference before him coming because that's how concerned they were. And she said, Dr. Susan Hughes, as a physician, I can tell you with certainty that Trump's rallies are a threat to our public health. They fly in the face of the recommendations from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And basically, I have heard nothing from the CDC director recently or Fauci or Birx. And now Fauci's done some media. Where's Birx?
Sidelined because... to be fair to Fauci, who I'm very critical of, he's still there. He's still trying. I'm not sure how effective he's being, but he's still actually doing the work. Birx, they used her. They have no more use for her. She's gone. She's sidelined. She's no public. I'm sure she's still working behind the scenes.
Yeah. Doing what?
I mean, in addition to being like media appearances, they have actual jobs mm-hmm. in terms of managing the whole COVID response. So like them being at rallies is not actually their job. That's just what Trump made them do. Poor Fauci had to be there for 2 hours every day back in the beginning. When he had like a real job to be doing, he had to stand there and this like, yeah. So, but Birx, not effective. Maybe she's still good at her job. I don't know. Like her actual job, like doing things, managing the pandemic. So.
I mean, Fauci has now become like an enemy to Trump. I mean, Trump is tweeting things about how he threw out a lousy baseball and this and that.
I mean, he did though. That's not.
That's fine. The man is what, like 95 years old? That's not his it's a great thing he's not a professional baseball player then, right? Like, that's not what he does. He's a brilliant scientist instead.
Yeah.
I, you know, one thing I was thinking about the other day is, like, are we good on PPE? Because that whole issue has kind of gone away. I mean, it seems like that's not a thing
anymore. It's caught, I mean, it could be again, but we've caught up a little bit. It's no longer in crisis mode.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit on the vaccine front. Apparently, UK made an announcement this week that alarmed some folks, but this is not the first time it's been done, that they're actually going to infect volunteers with the virus.
Yeah.
And this is as opposed to testing a virus on people who just happen to have COVID, but they're actually going to infect people with it and then treat them. It's called the world's first human challenge trials for COVID-19. It's so
okay.
Weird.
Well, that's false because we have China, and they've definitely been doing that shit before.
You think they have?
Oh yeah, they've basically been
like injecting people with it.
They've been putting people into like intense exposure environments after giving like forced vaccinations. I am not in a position to give a critical, nuanced evaluation of the ethics of all of this, mm-hmm. which are very complicated.
I mean, they're volunteers.
They are volunteers. Like it's,
but they could be very like highly kind of like. Compromise people who like maybe need the money or maybe need the, you know, it could be all kinds of things.
And just in general, like even aside, like hopefully they're choosing only the healthiest people to do it.
It's supposed to be.
And honestly, as complicated as all this is, and thank God I'm not in charge, people who actually do this for a living are, at a certain point, if you know the virus enough to make an evaluation of what the long-term effects could be, and you feel pretty good about the vaccination, the amount of human good that can happen from fast forwarding by infecting people, there's a hell, like just a couple more months. If you have enough knowledge to say, okay, we think the risk is minimal to these people.
Yeah.
I mean, usually that's not acceptable. Like usually it's not a thing you can be like, okay, well this increased risk is acceptable. So we're going to do it anyway. But here just the amount of like worldwide human good that can come from it.
Oh, you know, this would highly accelerate. Yeah. You know, making the vaccine publicly available. And actually 38,000 people have already signed up to be volunteers for this. And they're supposed to be only healthy folks. Now the U.S. of course is not on that same train right now, but let's see how this is going to supposed to start in January in the UK. Yeah. The other aspect of COVID, obviously, is the impact it's had on the economy. One really troubling thing I read this week was that since May, 8 million more Americans are below the poverty line. And as this is happening, obviously, for a number of weeks now, there have been, like, negotiations, and then didn't Trump, like, cancel the whole thing on Twitter?
God. And then uncancel it.
And then uncancel it. I mean,
this is probably the biggest thing going on in terms of, like, real-life effects on everyday Americans. Like these negotiations are the big thing. And I just mentally checked out because everyone knows it's not going to happen. Like, they're trying their best, and it's a defeatist attitude, but, like, honestly, it's not going to happen. So they're still going through the motions. Pelosi is doing the meetings. Meadows is showing up. Mnuchin is, and Kudlow are, like, trying to shepherd it through. And Trump is like, I don't care what the number is. Like, I need the election boost. And Democrats are like, sure, we'll give the Republican president the massive stimulus boost to the election because it's the right thing to do. So,
crazy thing is,
Republicans won't go for it.
That Mitch McConnell's blocking it.
Yeah.
And so I wondered about that. So, reports came out.
I think it's a combination. Like, one, like, they have actual principles to an extent. Like,
that. Oh, hell to the no.
I think there is some of that. They have some, like, their baseline reaction to things is to say, like, don't spend
more money.
So it's that gut reaction. And plus, also, they expect Trump to lose, so they don't want to start a precedent of, like, throwing money around to help a president when they think the president that'll be helping soon was Biden.
Being in debt sucks. Credit cards, student loans, mortgages, it doesn't matter what kind. Being in debt flat out sucks and is so, so stressful.
Well, there's a way to defeat your debt thanks to Bills.com. If you're losing sleep over maxed out credit cards or stressed out thinking about your mortgage payments or student loans, Bills.com can help you take back control of your life.
The first step to lowering your monthly payments and becoming debt-free is to get a free debt assessment. And it only takes a few minutes. It could save you hundreds or even thousands of dollars every month.
From debt settlement to personal loan consolidation to student loan or mortgage refinancing, Bills.com has you covered.
And they're part of the Freedom Financial Network, which has been in business since 2002 and has settled over $10 billion in debt.
So take the first step to defeating your debt. Get your free debt assessment today and go to bills.com/45th. That's bills.com/45th. Bills.com/45th.
Well, look, apparently there was a closed-door Senate GOP lunch, and McConnell told the other senators there that any deal that they could reach with Pelosi could disrupt the Senate's plans to confirm Amy Barrett to Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
Next week. And that is actually, it seems like, the overriding concern. And the reports go on to say that Republicans have voiced concerns that a stimulus deal could splinter the party and exacerbate divisions at a time when they're trying to rally behind the Supreme Court nominee. So I guess that's kind of like what the big, but you know, what's interesting to me about that is, like, why do they think that would have, I mean, I feel like that's, like, she's going to get confirmed. Like,
because
why
claiming would that have an impact? Well, it's not actually guaranteed. It's very probable, but it's not guaranteed. And this is do or die for them.
The Republican Party. This is more important than Trump getting
elected.
Oh, God, yes.
Right? God, yes. Yeah.
So what McConnell's saying is, Trump, we don't give a shit if you don't get your boost.
And also it's more like a long shot. Like, I mean, yes, they would like Trump reelected, but like,
this is probably pissing Trump off.
Yeah, their odds of getting Barrett confirmed are better than their odds of getting Trump reelected. So, and plus long term, like their whole strategy. I mean, the Republicans, they had a choice. They have chosen not to go with being more popular to voters. They're like, no, that's not going to happen for us. Their only other choice is to seize, I mean, in this case, Supreme Court, and to prevent democracy from doing its job. Because otherwise they're gone. Like, they're not going to change their platform to appeal to more voters. They're not going to win democratically. So they need Barrett on the court. And guess what? The recent Pennsylvania decision, which was 4-4, which is horrific because this was a state court, like, this is a state issue of Pennsylvania, like counting votes.
Wait, talk about what
so that... Pennsylvania had it's have, oh God, Pennsylvania's going to be in the new Florida. We're going to have some new hanging chads going on here. I can already, like, it's going to be the naked ballots and the some new horror we've not yet contemplated.
Biden is up in Pennsylvania by like 7 points.
And there's going to be some kind of chicanery there. Anyway, basically, there's an issue about whether or not votes that come in after a certain number of days can be counted or not after the election. And again, this is a state law matter. So the technical conservative position should be that federalism, rah, rah, states' rights, states, Trump, federal era.
Right.
And instead, the Pennsylvania court issues its ruling. It gets appealed to the Supreme Court. And the four conservative justices, soon to, well, the four, like, the four conservative justices, I mean, the five minus Roberts, who is now the de facto liberal justice, mm-hmm. they would be willing to overturn the state court decision on this and overrule a state ruling on state law matter. And with Barrett there, they totally would have. And sure, they're going to claim it's, like, ideological, but there's no, like, actual ideological basis here. Like, it is... It's a political decision if you're going to go against the state law on this one. So yeah, with Barrett, Trump would have had the advantage of discounting thousands or tens of thousands or who knows how many votes in Pennsylvania.
All right.
Swing Justice Roberts. Yeah. Things are going great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have some faith in him.
No, don't.
Really?
Don't.
Well, Susan.
Look, he cares about his legacy
yeah.
slightly more than he cares about the Republican domination. So, look, we got that going for us, but that's not, like, a winning combo for anyone. For, like, we have that going for us. Like, he cares a little bit more about, like, his role in history.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, I keep hearing that, look, if the numbers are big enough, if the gap is big enough, then, you know, it's...
I think that it's still disastrous in terms of, like, the immediate impacts. At a certain point, if Biden wins by enough percentage-wise, there's nothing Trump can do. Yeah. Which is horrifying to say in democracy, because it shouldn't, like, that's not how it works.
Right.
But at a certain point, yeah, it won't matter. And we may be heading for a place, like, it, I mean, God knows, we 4 years ago felt the same way. He's imploding, campaign's imploding.
Yeah.
But Biden is definitely a better position than Hillary was, and... If he can pull out 10 points, which probably can't do that, we're definitely fine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're good. They're going to try and do some stuff. But right now, good news, their October surprising seems to be focused on Hunter Biden, which...
Yeah. Like, can we talk about this a little bit?
Let's talk about, like, this is a very poor choice in October surprising.
You think this is what they've been holding on to and they thought this was, like, going to do it? Did they really not consider everything else that's happening, people's priorities right now?
I think that they were convinced they could knock Biden off in the primary mm. and they could get their favorite candidate to be here instead of Biden. And I think...
Which was who? Warren?
No.
Sanders?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they really, like, Trump really wanted to run against Sanders. Like, that's why I said he, in, like, half his rallies, he's like, Biden's using the Sanders AOC plan. Like, mm. he wanted to run against Sanders. That was his dream plan. That's why they came out with this Biden stuff back last year. That's why he got impeached, because they didn't want to have Biden.
Right.
They didn't want, like, generic, friendly, old white man.
Vanilla, yeah. Status quo. Yeah.
Like
he wanted the revolutionary.
He's got no secret assist from sexism here. He's got no, like, secret, like, yeah. He is against a generic old white man, which apparently is Trump's kryptonite, because he can't use any kind of exploiting, like, race or religion or... I mean, he's trying to exploit the religion thing with Amy Coney Barrett as a Catholic. I'm like, your opponent's a Catholic, so, like, yeah. Well, yeah, anyway. Point being, I think that was the plan, and now they're trying to do plan B and to reuse the same material in the general election, and it's just not going to have the same kind of impact.
Well, look, I know, like, over a couple months ago is when the stories about Biden started emerging about, like, you know, the accusation against Biden, you know, by that one woman whose name now I forget, unfortunately, but that he was inappropriate, and... So I was speaking to this, a friend of mine, like a few weeks ago. I mean, a very smart, intelligent, professional young woman who, she's not like some old person who's going to get bamboozled like on Facebook, but yeah. She was like, yeah, you know, the thing about Biden, and she comes from the South Asian community. So you think if nothing else, like her self-interest would guide her. She's like, but you know what, Rabia? She's like, I've heard that he's a pedophile. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, Biden's a pedophile. She's like, I've seen it in a Facebook video. And I was like, oh my God, they got to you. Yeah. And I had to like sit there and talk to her and show her how it was like.
How hard would it be to convince her? Like
I mean, she still walked away kind of like, I don't know. I saw this picture of him with his hands. I was like, yeah, but that, I was like, do you know what you're comparing here? Also,
Yeah.
So I worry about those people who might just be like, I don't, you know, and even in some of the polls, like for example, the Pennsylvania poll where they're showing, or even in the national polls, there are like 6 or 7 points unaccounted for. It's like 51-42. Where's the other 7 points? Like, where are they going?
Like, who's our third parties? I don't like who are the third parties this year? I haven't even like
Kanye.
I mean, oh, that's who it is.
I don't think Kanye's getting 7 points, but I don't know. I don't know what, or maybe people are just saying I'm undecided. Yeah. Maybe people are saying undecided. But anyway, speaking of like this bullshit, so Giuliani has featured. Oh yeah. Oh, by the way, so anyway, we had some Giuliani news today.
Oh God. Oh God. I can't.
But when I saw the picture, I said, Susan, look at this picture. It's Giuliani on a bed.
And like my mentally, I'm like, is this like a doctored image here? Like this, and she's like, it's Borat. Like there's no way, like those like phrases come out of your mouth. I'm like, what's up?
2020 has been the wildest ride.
Anyway, back to Hunter Biden, the unfortunate Biden. Look, it's complicated. It's messy. It's kind of American and how this is all played out. Like Biden has had a rough go of it. Like his life story is pretty awful.
Yeah.
And he's endured personal tragedy after personal tragedy.
A lot of loss.
And like, let's be real. He has one son. It's kind of a fuck up.
Yeah.
Like,
that's okay.
But Biden will never see it as a fuck up. Like he will never ever see it that way, which is probably the most humanizing thing about him this whole election. Like he is incapable of viewing his son as a fuck up because he's not a fuck. He's a human being that he loves and
has, that he's irredeemable. Right. Yeah. Exactly. He's not.
And like sitting outside of the family and not having personal connection, you can be like, okay, that son's a little bit of a fuck up, but you know what? He's a human being with a dad that loves him to death and he's never, ever going to turn on him ever. It's just not going to happen.
And I like that about Biden.
Yeah, no, that's, and also I think Trump has misjudged it in that, like, that's, even for his base, that's going to be a pro, not a con.
Step too far, yeah.
Yeah, like, they're not going to, too many people have had that life story play out, like, for them to see this as, like, the negative for him.
So the story is that this laptop was dropped off. This is so, right?
It's such a mess. It's such a mess. Oh my God.
And it's so convoluted. So apparently it's some laptop.
But part is like, you know what? Hunter is such a shit show. It could possibly be true.
I mean, look,
it's probably not, but like, I'm like almost willing to concede it might be.
The very broad strokes of this is that somehow Giuliani ended up with Hunter Biden's old laptop, okay? Or ended up at some...
Like, the ABCD, like just go from like A to Z, like A stuff to Z, happened. Right. There's like a blind repairman in Delaware.
And who charged $80 to fix his laptop.
That was forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, okay, forget all that. So it's hard to talk about too because none of this has been verified and... Almost certainly, it's like the same situation with Hillary, where the fake stuff's put in the real stuff. So who knows what is true? I do think it is very likely to be true that there's some real problematic stuff that's in that stuff, amid all whatever else in there.
It's his. So I read a thread by a data specialist who understands like how all this hardware and software works, and according to, and I wish I had it on hand, but according to them, they're like it, this actually is not possible.
Yeah.
Given like when this software.
No. The backstory is all a lie, clearly. But like, I mean, some of them have like family photos, which are not, they're clearly someone hacked Hunter. They have real material.
Right. Now how they got a hold of it, they had to come up with a backstory.
And how much of it is real and not real, we do not know. So it's hard to talk about because a lot of it's we don't know what in that pile of whatever is real or not.
Well, they keep saying, and Steve Bannon has said this, and Juliet, that we have all this like horrifying stuff. Well, there was just like some emails were released, and it was in one of the emails, Hunter, again, not verified, but even if this was real, I'm like, what's problematic with it? Where Hunter is emailing his father saying, I'm so sorry, I'm an F up, I've screwed up your career, I'm hurting your career. And Biden responds in the most loving way. He's like, I love you no matter what type of, and I'm like, how is this harmful to anybody? But today, was it that Giuliani said that there was like child pornography?
So this is all just like Giuliani being, nothing verified, nothing real.
If there was child pornography on it, he would have federal charges.
Not yet necessarily.
But I thought this data actually has already passed through the hands of the feds. And somewhere in the story, the feds got a hold of this too.
So, and then there's the whole, like, there's so much here. And it's really hard to say, like, we know the story. Oh, God. Like,
Bannon says there's more coming.
Lots of theories, like, lots of, like, I won't speculate now, but, like, there's definitely, like, room for, like, a whole lot of weirdness going on about when the timelines happened, when people had it. Point being, I think the reason that Trump keeps complaining about Barr and how Barr's not doing anything is because, like, it could be there's stuff in the laptop that he thinks should be investigated charge, and Barr is like, no, one, we're too close to an election, and two, like, this is all nonsense. Because remember Barr, so I do believe that Barr's intention was not good, but his intention when he set up the Giuliani, like, pipeline was like, if anyone out there in America has unverified Ukrainian disinformation that went past the FBI, here's a channel for it, aka Giuliani, come here and give us your shit. I do think that was Barr's way of managing the situation by giving, like, a way to have the Giuliani nonsense from Durkash get passed on to the FBI so that Trump would be happy because the FBI now has it and he can have a channel be like, okay, well, now you can burn that and get rid of it forever. So I think that was his goal, was not to further Giuliani's ability to do this, but to sort of shut it down. But, like, I wonder if that's where the info came through first, if that's where the FBI got it. That being said,
A lot of security experts are saying this has, like, all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign.
So the concerning thing is that we have the FBI in response to statements from, like, Republican politicians saying, like, the FBI has confirmed that this was not Russian disinfo, this was legit. The FBI statement was, we have no comments on this, which is their way of affirming, well, that is being read as, and seemingly is their way of affirming that statement, which, yeah.
Well, okay, so I don't know how problematic it could or couldn't be or what it is going to expose. But the thing is, like, doesn't it also matter, like, how it's like the fruit of the poisonous tree type of stuff, like, how the information was, if it was gotten through illegal means, like, it can't even be used, right?
Well, this is why this is such a, and it's just such, like, a nightmare scenario. If you have one party willing to exploit it and willing to do this, because if the info is real, you can't not take action on it. But if it's being released, obtained and released with a goal of, like, harming electoral processes, I mean, there's a reason we're in the pickle we are now. I mean, I keep going back to, like, Ukraine and when American efforts were being done to reform and to move forward. There are lots of crimes in Ukraine. There's lots of corrupt activity going on. Right. Basically, any new incoming administration could probably rightfully charge the past one with corruption. And, like, it's not that the facts aren't there. It's not that the facts aren't real. Like, most likely they genuinely could charge their opponents with actual corrupt activities. It's also no good for a burgeoning democracy to do that. So, and we're kind of here now. Like, even if there's, like, a real crimes being shown, like, there is a real reason for the sake of the country not to pursue it. Now, if Hunter Biden did some criminal stuff, like, part of me wishes we were, like, he should be charged. But now it's all complicated, and, like, there's no good answer. And, like, he should
if
be charged.
He should be charged, then Don Jr., Ivanka, and all of them should be charged.
But, like, this is, like, a nightmare scenario. Like, it's not, yeah, they should all be charged. It's not going to happen, but, like, do you just charge some, like, it's a mess. And so, like, at the very least, we'll probably face, like, we could be facing a scenario where Biden gets elected. There's been real, possibly, activity by his son that was criminal. Well, I mean, it's almost a drug addict. Like, it's not even a question. Like, that, if he was not Hunter Biden, he'd probably be charged for that stuff. Like, that's criminal activity. It's under our laws.
What part of this do you think is the criminal activity? Like, what
He's addicted. Like, he has serious addiction. Like, it's a crime to do drugs in America. That's criminal activity.
That he's an addict? No, come on. No, I mean, like, that.
Yes, he can.
I mean,
why couldn't he be? It's a crime to do cocaine.
But you have to be caught in the act of doing cocaine and holding cocaine.
If there are pictures of you,
you have to have possession.
If they
of
have
cocaine,
pictures of you on your computer of you doing cocaine, and your computer gets left with a shady computer repair.
I have never heard of drug charges brought where there's not active possession.
And you admit it in, like, your text and email. Like, okay, it probably wouldn't be charged. It's not how it's typically charged. But it is a crime. There's evidence of it.
That's like everybody in rehab then should be charged because they're admitting, essentially, that they're, you're doing drugs.
So, like, there's policy reasons why they don't. It's complicated.
I thought you meant some, like, financial thing.
Oh, or that too, if they found it. But, like, we know for a fact that there's criminal activity that Hunter Biden has done that's been exposed because, like, yeah, he has drug issues. There could be other stuff. None of it's verified. At this point, if they had better stuff, they'd probably be released. So, but, you know, it's a possibility.
Yeah, because what are you waiting for? I mean, like, this is, like, if you haven't released it yet, like, less than 2 weeks before, then it's, I don't think there's got anything there. But also, the other question I have is this. Who the hell, what person, what voter in America is, like, going to change their vote based on something Hunter Biden did? I don't think there's anybody.
All this whole complicated mess of, like, thorny, ethical, legal, political, like, poli-sci questions. also, like, ends up at, like, okay, but also, who cares about Hunter Biden?
Right. At the end of the day, that's what this is about.
Yeah.
It's all about getting him reelected, and this is not a strategy that's going to work.
I think it's a desperate throwback, because they thought that, like, it's enough for the primary when there's everyone involved, like, you know.
Right.
In a primary,
this might have hurt him in a primary.
It did, but he came back.
But, okay, not, I mean, they this did. Whole story.
Trump got impeached by it, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so can we talk a little bit? Well, since we're talking about Giuliani, we mentioned Giuliani. Okay. So today,
you do it.
I mean, it's not. I don't know if it's newsworthy, but it's hilarious that Borat. God, you know what? I love this guy. So the new Borat movie is coming out soon. I don't know when it's coming out, but anyhow, so he in this new Borat film. What's the name of the actor?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, right. Cohen Baron. I know.
One of them.
Borat. The premise now is that he's in America with his daughter, and so apparently, you know, his shtick is he sets up politicians and elected officials for fake interviews and then just completely embarrasses and humiliates them or draws out their racism and bigotry and stuff like that. So apparently he got Giuliani to do a fake interview with his fake daughter, and then the fake daughter suggested to Giuliani that, and this happened just this past July, by the way, not long ago, that they go up to her hotel room. And in that hotel room, there were cameras and there were microphones. And so today, a couple of stills were released of Giuliani.
I can't. It's burned my brain forever.
Listen, you're going to have to hear it. I had to see the picture.
You showed them to me in the car and now they're still there forever.
Yeah, you were trapped with me. He was laying on the bed, his hand in his pants. And
I didn't see his face. I knew it was Giuliani. I don't even know how. Like somehow, like you showed the image. I knew it was Giuliani without even like.
Listen, at 76, this man thought he was going to get jiggy with this young girl. And then apparently, before it could go any further, you know, Borat busts in the room and says, "Stop, she's too old for you."
She's 15, she's too old for,
She's 15, she's too old for you. So that happened today. But otherwise, I think the only real kind of interesting newsworthy thing that happened this week, I mean, I say that, but look, this week there was a reporting that... 545 children, their family still hasn't been found, right? Like, so, you know, the children who are separated from their families, 545, they cannot find their parents still. Most of them, however, are with close relatives or foster families, so that's good to know, but they don't know where the parents are. So there are, like, news items like that. But this China story, let's talk about that. New York Times, we know, has had been coming out.
Can they just like give me all the materials? Like, I hate like this. You just want to. I just like, just give me the freaking documents and like.
Listen, I think they have a plan leading up to the election. It's going to be like drip, 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 boom.
But they shouldn't have a plan. They should just give me the documents so I can look
just
at them.
Just Susan Simpson. I actually kind of agree with that plan. I think you would be a great asset. New York Times, if you're listening, just get Susan on the case.
It's going too slow. Like just give me like what you've got. Like, they have sources to protect, but like, part of me is kind of annoyed. It's just not criticism. It's just frustration, but like. Having the drip, drip, drip of these documents that would mean a lot, and then you can't actually see them, is kind of frustrating.
Now, it's ironic that Senate Republicans at some point had produced a report saying that, I can't believe the Senate Republicans are doing this, that Hunter Biden had opened a bank account with a Chinese businessman. And this week it comes out that Trump actually has a Chinese bank account. It's controlled by Trump International Hotels, and the tax records show that he paid almost $189,000 in taxes in China while pursuing licensing deals there. He also has bank accounts in the UK because of they operate his golf courses. But the interesting thing is that those golf courses regularly report millions of dollars in revenue, but Trump International Hotels Management in China has only reported just a few thousand dollars in revenue.
Yeah.
Now, the weird thing is in 2017, his company reported a huge spike in revenue in China, $17.5 million. Then, a immediate $15.1 million withdrawal by Mr. Trump from the company's capital account.
Yep.
Explain that to me.
It's not that hard. It's what it looks like.
It's exactly what it looks like. Where did that spike come from? Who was flooding the...
The Chinese government.
The Chinese government?
Yeah.
You think that's Chinese government money?
They know about it, at very least.
They have to.
Yeah, so at that point, like, he's not compromised, because even if it wasn't from them, it was probably from some, like,
Chinese really businessmen.
Yeah,
oligarchs.
Like, they know about it, so they could reveal if they want to.
So basically, Trump, while president, got a $15 million bribe or something, or payout or something from Chinese nationals, officials, government, something.
It's not disclosed and it's not known. And it's, yeah, no, it's super, super obviously corrupt to the point of like comedy. But again, without the documents and without like, it's so frustrating because like it's, okay, actually 2 days. Trump has engaged in very obvious white-collar criminal activity for a very long time.
Right.
Even before he ran for election, like, he was never... I still don't know why he never got charged. I mean, he was kind of a smaller fish. Like, it's not like... It wasn't like Exxon or something. But he had very obvious signs of FCPA violations.
Of course.
Like, foreign bribery seemed very apparent as, like, a matter of enforcement. Like, you would look at that and be like, as a prosecutor, like, okay, let's start investigating there. We can probably get something. Mm-hmm. It's smaller stuff. Like, he was never on, like, the big scale as, like, some of these big corporations. So maybe it's less interesting or less whatever. I don't know why. For some reason, he was never charged, never investigated. It didn't happen. I cannot answer that. Once he's president, of course, he's not going to be. Yeah. So he's getting more bold. He's doing more obvious stuff. But it's pretty obvious. There's no good answer. Like, there is no non-criminal explanation for what Trump has done. There just isn't. Like, there's no longer room for a good explanation. And Trump lives on the fact that no one can say exactly what happened. Because there's no actual answer.
Yeah.
Like, the uncertainty gives him, like, a dodge. But there is no answer here that is not
criminal. That works.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I guess we're going to probably have more reporting on that from New York Times or other things. I mean, I know they're saving even juicier stuff going after the election. I just know it.
But the thing is, it doesn't matter unless he gets charged criminally, because no one else is going to listen to it either way, and he's not going to get charged.
But you know, when his look, he's paid $189,000 in taxes in China when he's paying zero or maybe $750 in America. Even though those taxes were reported even by Fox News anchors. So I do think it has an impact on people who are like, wait, what? The average working person who's paying $750 maybe every paycheck is going to be like, what the hell is the president doing? All right. So speaking of the impact on people, I want to talk a little bit about like what's going on in the campaign. We are counting down the days to the election now.
2 weeks, under 2 weeks.
Yeah. Now, last week, there was supposed to be a debate. It turned into Trump refused to do a virtual one. He will still to this day not answer the question of when he was last tested negative for
because
COVID.
It was probably like July.
Yeah. So instead, they had Biden immediately scheduled a town hall at ABC. 2 days later, Trump's like, I have a town hall too on NBC. Same exact time.
Like, what the fuck, people? Like, what were you, like, this is just like a shit show all around. Like, the
Biden. Did you ignore both of the town halls?
Yes.
I watched them both.
How did you watch them both?
I'll tell you. I watched Biden's, like, in video, and I followed Trump's on Twitter. Like, so, there are reporters who tweet, like, you know, like.
So, yeah. I was out late that night working, and I got back, and what was Biden's on?
ABC.
Yeah, so my husband was watching it, and it ended, and then Biden's there in the crowd taking questions still.
Yeah.
And they don't play any of it. Like,
yeah,
they had just people talking. Like, can you stop the pundits from punditing? Like, yeah. I want to hear what Biden's saying. And they had him, like, as the background B-roll answering questions. Like, this is the candidate. Like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, that was interesting. But, you know, so Biden did last half an hour longer than Trump's. They started the exact same time, NBC, but...
Oh, they did? I thought he just scheduled later. No, he just kept going longer.
No, but Trump's... it was Savannah Guthrie, right? Is that the reporter's name? I mean, she went pretty hard on him. So I just want to play this reel of highlights from both the town halls.
Did you take a test on the day of the debate, I guess, is the bottom line?
I probably did, and I took a test the day before and the day before, and I was always in great shape, and I was in great shape for the debate. As president, I can't be locked in a room someplace for the next year and just stay and do nothing. And every time I go into a crowd, I was with the parents of our fallen heroes. These people are the most incredible people. And they came up to me and they would hug me and they would touch me. And I'm not going to not let them do it.
When a president doesn't wear a mask or makes fun of folks like me when I was wearing a mask for a long time, then, you know, people say, well, it mustn't be that important.
After contracting COVID-19 yourself, has your opinion changed on the importance of mask wearing?
No, because I was okay with the masks. I was good with it, but I've heard many different stories on masks.
If you listen to the head of the CDC, He stood up and he said, you know, while we're waiting for a vaccine, and he held up a mask. You wear this mask, you'll save more lives between now and the end of the year than if we had a vaccine.
I knew it was a big threat. At the same time, I don't want to panic this country. I don't want to go out and say everybody's going to die. Everybody's
going to. Isn't there a middle ground? You don't have to mislead, but you can.
No, there's not a middle ground. You have to be safe, you have to be vigilant, and you have to be smart.
Besides, you ain't black. What do you have to say to young black voters who see voting for you as further participation in a system that continually fails to protect them?
Well, I say, first of all, as my buddy John Lewis said, it's a sacred opportunity and right to vote. You can make a difference. If young black women and men vote, you can determine the outcome of this election. Not a joke. You can do that.
Mr. President, what will you and your administration do to better prepare our law enforcement officers to work in collaboration with the communities that they serve and also to protect the lives of innocent black and Latinos from police brutality and injustice?
Right. I fully understand the question. And I saw everything that you saw over the summer, and it was a terrible thing to watch. And some people don't like it when I say it, but a lot of people agree. I have done more for the African-American community than any president, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln.
You said you don't want to ban fracking. As you know, it's an important issue here in Pennsylvania. Not everyone buys your denial. A member of the Boilermakers Local 154, Sean Steffi, was quoted in the New York Times today saying, you can't have it both ways. It says you can't meet your goal to end fossil fuels without ending fracking. What do you say to people like Sean who doubt your denial because they think you want to keep that promise?
Well, tell them the Boilermakers overwhelmingly endorse me, okay? What I would do is I would stop giving tax breaks and subsidizing oil. We don't need to subsidize oil any longer, number one. We should stop that and save billions of dollars over time. What I would also do with regard to, the difference between me and the new Green Deal, they say automatically by 2030, we're going to be carbon free. Not possible.
So are you for it or against it? You say you're not for it, but in your website it says you call it a crucial framework.
My deal is a crucial framework.
I'm sure they'll ask you the white supremacy question. I denounce white supremacy. Okay. And frankly, you want to know something? I denounce Antifa, and I denounce these people on the left that are burning down our cities that are run by Democrats who don't
know
what they're
doing. While we're denouncing, let me ask you about QAnon.
I just don't know about QAnon.
You do know.
I don't know. No, I don't know. What I do hear about it is they are very strongly against pedophilia. And I agree with that. I mean, I do agree with that, and I agree with it.
But there's not a satanic pedophile cult.
I have no idea. I know nothing about
that. You don't know that? Okay.
No, I don't know
you
that.
Neither do you know that.
Okay.
Just this week, you retweeted to your 87 million followers a conspiracy theory that Joe Biden orchestrated to have SEAL Team 6, the Navy SEAL Team 6, killed to cover up the fake death of bin Laden. Now, why would you send a lie like that to your followers? You retweeted
it. That was a retweet. That was an opinion of somebody, and that was a retweet. I'll put it out there. People can decide for themselves. I don't take a position.
You're not like someone's crazy uncle. Your own FBI director says there is no evidence of widespread fraud.
Well, then he's not doing a very good job.
If I'm elected president, you will not hear me race baiting. You'll not hear me dividing. You'll hear me trying to unify and unify with bring people together. When I said I was running because I wanted to unify the country, people said, well, there are the old days. We better be able to do it again. We better be able to do it again.
Mr. Vice President, if you lose, what will that say to you about where America is today?
Well, it could say that I'm a lousy candidate and I didn't do a good job. But I think, I hope that it doesn't say that we are as racially, ethnically, and religiously at odds with one another as it appears.
Trump being asked about QAnon. Savannah Guthrie saying, why are you like retweeting conspiracy theories that, you know, Joe Biden is a pedophile, whatever. And he's like, she's like, you're not somebody's crazy uncle. And he's like, yes, I am actually. And then Biden's highlights were just nice. And like, you know, like it was like, but here's the interesting thing. I actually expected that more people would tune in for the shit show that, because Trump is at the end of the day, much more, it's just, he is more entertaining because he's crazy.
However, so boring. He's not entertaining anymore.
Oh, you're just tired of it. But the thing is, you never know what he's going to say. It's unpredictable, right?
It's He's going to throw up a new color. Like, who cares?
Well, one thing I was like, that night, I was like, listen, if Joe Biden has like a mental gap, like slip, or like stutters a bit, or has some kind of a, that's what's going to, his bar is so much higher than like Trump's.
Yeah, but also there's no kind of gap he can have that's going to be that interesting compared to like Trump does. Like, it's just not going to be that kind of.
But Trump can do and say anything and still he'll be okay. Well, here's the thing though. Biden's ratings were 3 times.
Wasn't that like the TikTok thing though? Where like the TikTok teens were trying to like.
Oh, flood the. Yeah. Well, maybe. It doesn't matter. There's still people.
It'll piss off Trump the same either way.
The reason Trump. I know. So people were really pissed off at NBC for scheduling at the same time. And NBC had no reason to do that because it actually hurts their ratings to go head-to-head to another town hall. But I'm guessing Trump was like, it has to be the same time.
Yeah.
Because for him, it's a competition. And anyhow, Biden's ratings were thrice that. I think also people want normalcy. And honestly, it was nice to hear Joe Biden speak like a normal human being.
Also, in terms of like market scarcity, Biden is like, you don't hear, he's not as featured as much. Like,
right.
If you want to hear Trump say some crazy shit, just turn on TV or whatever it is.
He's on every day.
Like, you can hear Trump say crazy shit whenever you want to. It's always there.
He's on Fox and Friends in the morning. He's on Hannity at night. He was on Rush Limbaugh last week.
Trump saying crazy shit is not in short supply. Like, it's universal good at this point. Like, it's everywhere. Yeah. Like, it's not worth anything. Whereas Biden is, how often is he featured talking for, like, it doesn't happen that much.
Well, things are not looking good for Trump at this point. Obviously, I know we are all like kind of burned when it comes to polls and stuff after 2016. But even, for example, Biden is out fundraising Trump. I mean, right now, Biden's campaign ended September with $180.6 million in the bank. And Trump has half that, $63.1 million. Biden and Harris are out fundraising Trump just day in and day out with record-breaking numbers. There's a story that came out today that I thought was kind of funny, and I'm sure would totally burn Trump up, and that's that Lawyers at Jones Day, which has made millions of dollars as outside counsel for Trump's campaign, those lawyers have donated almost $90,000 to Joe Biden and $50 to Trump. Yeah.
I mean, a client's a client. You don't have to like give them money. Like, you take money from your client and do what you want with it.
Now, today I saw that more than 40 million people have voted early.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
That's amazing. Democrat apparently. Now, this doesn't mean just because a Democrat voted, he voted for Biden, but there are like 14% more Democrats have done early voting than Republicans.
I mean, it kind of means that.
it kind of means that, I guess, maybe. But again, like given what you're talking about Pennsylvania and other places, we don't know how that's actually going to be counted or not counted in the day.
They can't start counting until the day of.
Yeah. Now, the last debate is tomorrow night. And we'll see how that goes, but it'll probably be a repeat of the first debate.
I'll watch this one.
You're going to watch this
one? I'll watch this one.
I think I'm going to be traveling in the air, which sucks. I'm going to miss it. I mean,
you're going to be lucky one. You're going to be like, yep, that was a good live decision.
Listen, I get FOMO. I need to like be watching and then like live tweeting. But today there was a little bit of a shit show with, and just you mentioning how Trump is like everywhere, saturated the media market. Apparently he did an interview with Leslie Stahl.
Oh God. See, like,
yeah.
So the Trump show has gotten, it's been so boring for so long. And this thing happened with Leslie Stahl.
Mm-hmm.
And part of him is like,
60 minutes. Nice, you know, like.
That is intriguing. How could he have fucked it up that badly? And then like it's a fucking like bait and switch here. This is Trump's plan. It's like, how can he be interesting again? How can he turn around the fifth season of the Trump show to be like a new twist? There is no twist, but like that. This is his like, see, I'm still interesting.
You know, I feel like. You know that, Usual Suspects, the Kaiser Soze, that line that the greatest trick the devil ever. I feel like Trump has done that kind of ninja voodoo shit on us where we don't believe anything as we see it. So the fact that Trump is tweeting, or basically he walked out of a Leslie Stahl interview.
He publicly displayed a meltdown.
Yeah.
Was it real or was it not? Who cares?
But we don't believe it. I mean, like, to this day, no.
But also, I'm kind of curious. Like, what could really have... But also, it's not even that hard to imagine that a woman who asks hard questions, like, causes him to lose it.
He's not going
to
take it.
Yeah.
Apparently, he walked out of the interview, 60 minutes turned into 45 minutes, and then he tweeted, I am pleased to inform you that, for the sake of accuracy in reporting, I am considering posting my interview with Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes prior to airtime. This will be done so that everybody can get a glimpse of what a fake and biased interview is all about. Everyone should compare this terrible... electoral intrusion with the recent interviews of Sleepy Joe Biden.
You're like, how bad could it have gone? What could have possibly gone down for it to be that bad.
Okay, I'm going to venture a guess because we saw pictures of Kayleigh McEnany hand Leslie Stahl a huge, it looks like a like five Bibles stacked together, a book where in which she says, this is everything Trump has done for healthcare. And then there's a shot of Leslie opening it and it looks like a blank page. So
but
maybe,
what could possibly have been in there? And like,
no, what I'm saying is maybe it was all blank and that's what she called him on.
Like, even if it wasn't like, it has to be blank. Like, what else could it possibly be? Like, it couldn't be text. It couldn't be.
I thought, is it all the legal files?
I'm like, he hasn't tweeted that much. He's not tweeted about healthcare enough times to fill up this whole binder. Yeah. So what else is it going to be?
I thought maybe it's all the legal pleadings and stuff. Every legal thing they filed basically to oppose the ACA, to destroy the ACA.
That might get them closer to that page limit. But like, there's, of course there's blank. Because like, there's nothing, like, what else could it be?
So I think maybe he walked out because, we'll find out, I think, on Sunday. But I think he walked out because Leslie's like, sir, Mr. President, this is a blank.
This is blank paper, sir. Like, Trump's like, no, it is my great healthcare plan, sir. This is Indy Pages. Unfair. I don't know. Like, so you know what? It's probably nothing. I'm not even gonna like.
We'll find out on Sunday.
But I'll admit, I'm a little bit intrigued. Like, what could possibly have been?
I will definitely watch an interview in which he walks out. Look, he's having a meltdown. I really think he's dancing at every. Even his dancing has gotten so sad. He looks sad when he's dancing to YMCA, and nobody should look sad.
Trump has never not looked sad while dancing. Like, that's like his go-to move. Like despair. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to wrap up now. And I just wanted to, just for a little bit of mirth, end the show with a clip from Saturday Night Live this past weekend that spoofed the recent dueling town halls because I just thought it was brilliant. So enjoy this. And thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in 7 days. 7 days closer to the election.
God help us all.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday, Vice President Biden held a town hall as scheduled on ABC. At the same time, NBC laid a thirst trap for President Trump. One town hall was a thoughtful, cogent discussion of the issues facing our country. The other featured President Trump. We now present a rebroadcast of those town halls the way most Americans watch them, flipping back and forth, trying to decide between a Hallmark movie and an alien autopsy. This is Doolin Town Halls! Yee-haw!
Good evening, I'm George Stephanopoulos, and the vibe we're going for tonight is poorly attended college lecture. The folks asking questions are half pro-Biden and half anti-Trump, and somehow we've put all of them in the last row of the balcony. How are you guys up there?
Huh?
I have vertigo.
Great. And our guest of honor tonight is former vice president and future oatmeal spokesman, Joe Biden.
Hello! Hello, Philadelphians! It's great to be here! Hey, is that Bobby Clark of the 1974-75 Flyers?
Mr. Vice President, please don't wander into the audience to greet people.
Sorry. I'm just so excited to talk to America with real-life Americans. Hey, George, check it out. That's Dance for the Kids on TikTok.
Okay, Joe, let's focus. Now, are you ready for softball questions from folks who are already voting for you?
You bet your short pants I am. This is going to be exciting, George. I've given every audience member a glass of warm milk and a blanket. Now, who's ready to have some fun with facts and figures? Woo!
All right. First question is from Nicholas Fenton, and he's a Democrat.
Mr. Vice President, how would your response to COVID differ from the horrible one of President Trump, who I hate?
Okay, let's limit how many times you outright say you hate President Trump during your questions.
Aww.
Mr. Vice President, go ahead.
Okay, now, Nicholas, where the hell are you? Nicholas?
I'm up here.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Hey. Yeah, here's the deal. Unlike the president, I actually have a plan.
Oh, okay, great. What is it?
A plan? It's a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something.
No, I mean, what's your plan?
Oh, right. Well, let me start with a story mixed with a complicated math problem. If you have 3 million doses of vaccine and the vaccine leaves Chicago at 10 a.m., what time would it arrive in Washington? And please, show your work.
Good evening, America. I am surprise badass Savannah Guthrie. And if you were angry at NBC for doing this town hall, just let me get a few questions in and I think you'll thank me. Joining me tonight is President Donald Trump.
Thank you, Serengeti. It's great to be here. Even though, woman.
We have lots of voters waiting to ask questions, but I'd like to start by tearing you a new one. Now, why won't you condemn white supremacy?
I do condemn it. I've always more or less condemned it.
Okay. What about QAnon?
You mean the group that thinks Democrats are a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles? And that I'm their messiah, I don't know anything about them at all, no.
Yes, you do, Mr. President.
All I do know is that they're against pedophilia, and I agree with that. If anyone's against pedophiles, it's me, the man who was close personal friends with one of the most famous pedophiles on Earth. Rest in power, Jeffrey.
Okay, what about the Aryan Brotherhood?
They're very pro-family, that's all I know.
KKK?
Your car breaks down, you call Triple K.
Okay, Mr. President, just last week you tweeted that Osama bin Laden is still alive.
I didn't tweet it. It was a retweet, which is short for a really smart tweet.
Okay, but you can't just do things like that. You're not just someone's crazy uncle.
Really?
You know?
Because this conversation we're having right now is a preview of Thanksgiving dinner at a lot of American households. So crazy uncles, stand back and stand by.
And that brings us to 1939, a year when I went to the World's Fair and met the real Mickey Mouse. Does that answer your question? If you want to find me after the town hall, we can talk some more.
Some more?
So just to be clear, when was the last time you tested negative?
There are so many tests, Santana. I get tested all the time.
Okay, but for COVID?
There are so many COVIDs, Savannah, COVID-12, COVID-14.
Were you tested for COVID-19 on the day of the debate?
There have been so many debates, Savannah.
There was one effing debate. Now, and do you have any remaining symptoms of COVID?
No, not at all. I'm doing great. My doctors say my lung is beautiful. I have one beautiful lung now. It's turned basically into glass, so it's very strong.
And you didn't have pneumonia?
Well, I had a small fever. It was around 100 Celsius, but I did great. I never died, never saw hell or the devil. He never showed me a list of my sins. I was just alive and strong the whole time.
Okay, I'm done with my initial prostate exam. Our first question tonight is from Jacqueline Lugo.
Hello, Mr. President. Bienvenidos a Miami.
No, different person.
Okay. Let's go to our next question from Paulette Dale, and I'm told she's horny.
Yes, greetings, Mr. President. I have to say you have a great smile. He does. You're so handsome when you smile.
Oh, thank you.
Come on, give us a little more smile. There's so much to smile about right now. Come on, let me see those gorgeous chompers. Oh, there we go. So beautiful. Now, my question is about immigration. My parents were both immigrants, so I want to know what you'll do with the so-called dreamers.
Where did your parents immigrate from?
Mexico. I'm kidding. They came from Mrs. Maiselvania.
And that's why you have to do something. You can make a difference. Well, you can save this country.
Joe, who are you talking to?
I'm talking to God, George. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you're the team we love the most.
And that's why we're going to have a V-shaped recovery, a deep V. with rippling pecs and a toned 8-pack, a swimmer's body, basically, like I have after COVID, and it's gonna be beautiful.
The question was, why won't you release your taxes?
Well, that's simple, because I don't want to go to jail. Thank you. Thank
you. Our next question is from a pro-life millennial, so yikes, good luck.
My question is, did you nominate Judge Barrett to strike down Roe v. Wade? Because that would be pretty chill of you, TBH.
That's a beautiful question. Thank you. I didn't tell Amy Cullen. I didn't tell Amy Conan O'Brien to vote anyway on any issue. Some people, some very brilliant legal minds say that Roe v. Wade should be overturned and burned in a trash can like Antifa is burning all of my ballots, because everyone knows the radical left are trying to steal this election. They're taking down statues which are full of Trump votes. That's where people place their votes, is into statues, and Antifa is stealing them and changing them. Trump to Kathy Griffin.
Okay. I'm sorry. This is the last place I want to be. But somebody has to ask, what the hell is happening with that woman? Because I only nod that much when a waiter asks if I'll be having mimosas at brunch. So either that's Candace Owens in a wig, or baby girl answered the wrong Craigslist ad. Are you okay, miss? Just blink twice if you're being held hostage. Oh, uh-oh. You listening to music on tiny headphones? I'm genuinely trying to understand what is happening. Because if you're not a plant, then I am deeply, deeply concerned for you.
She's probably just upset that I didn't win the Nobel Prize.
Okay. But I need to get out of here, because this is some spooky-ass Jordan Peele nonsense. I just hope Joe's Town Hall is more inspiring than this.
Let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you,
could
be, mine?
You be mine?
Won't you be
my neighbor?
What do you say? Will you be my neighbor, George?
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm watching the Trump one. They're really going at it.
And now Savannah is telling him there's another question. But oh no, it was just a distraction. Savannah Guthrie has a folding chair from the audience, and Trump doesn't see it. Oh, the humanity.
And you see, each tree has its own personality. Just like America. Does that answer your question, Justin?
If I say yes, can I sit down?
You betcha, Buckaroo.
Both my legs are sleeping.
Well, Mr. Vice President, I believe we are about out of time, so I'm going to ask you for your closing statement.
George, we have to restore sanity to the nation. If elected, I promise I won't tweet once, because I don't know how. And I'll have exactly one scandal. I will mistake Angela Merkel for my wife from behind and tell her she's got a rockin' caboose. There's no malice in that. That's it.
In conclusion, there's only one question that matters. Just ask yourselves, America, aren't you better off than you were 4 years ago?
No!
All right, then just try and take me alive.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night!
big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan. And you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.